Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Recently, we have been emphasizing the kingdom of God as a theme. In John chapter 3, Jesus tells us, you must be born again. But the reason that we need to be born again is in order to enter the kingdom of God. In fact, Jesus says, unless you're born again, you can't even perceive, you can't even see the kingdom. So what does that mean for us? In Paul's letter to the Colossians, we get a picture of what life in the kingdom looks like. So if you would, open your Bibles to Colossians chapter 1. This is God's word. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the holy and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae, grace and peace to you from God our Father. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all the saints. The faith and love that springs from the hope that is stored up for you in heaven and that you've already heard about in the word of truth, the gospel that has come to you. All over the world, this gospel is bearing fruit and growing just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and understood God's grace in all its truth. You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience and joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation, if you continue in your faith, established and firm, not moved from the hope held out in the gospel. This is the gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. Now I rejoice in what was suffered for you, and I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, which is the church. I have become its servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness, the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the saints. To them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. We proclaim him, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone perfect in Christ. To this end I labor, struggling with all his energy, which so powerfully works in me. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Paul describes us under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit several times in this passage as being saints. If you're uncomfortable with that, prayerfully reorient your thinking and get in line with what God says. Because it's a reminder that we are not our own. We belong to him. So, to the saints and faithful brothers and sisters in Christ at Colossae, grace and peace to you from God our Father. Then he describes what this church and therefore what Christians look like. He says, we've heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all the saints, the faith and love that spring from the hope that is stored up for you in heaven and that you've already heard about in the word of truth, the gospel that has come to you. You'll notice truth again in verse 6. The emphasis on faith in the truth is absolutely vital. You can have all the faith in the world in a lie and it doesn't make it so. Thomas Sowell credits Abraham Lincoln with asking a question, and that is, if you count the dog's tail as a leg, how many legs does a dog have? And the answer is 4. Because regardless of what you say about the dog's tail, it's not a leg. Wow! That's a word that's needed in our culture right now. It turns out we may make ourselves crazy, but we can't change reality. And you and I need to cherish the truth and believe the truth. Because if your faith is in the truth, even if your faith is as small as a mustard seed, it can move mountains. But if your faith is in a lie, believing it with all your might will not make it so. All over the world, this gospel's bearing fruit and growing. That is what the Christian life looks like. It's productive. You'll see more and more good coming as a result of faith. Just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and understood God's grace in all its truth. Look down in verse 9 and following. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we've not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will. Why do you need to know God's will? Because he's the boss. He is Lord. Therefore, we are praying that God's going to show you what he wants. Fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. We pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience and joyfully giving thanks to the Father who's qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. And then in verse 13, he describes what a radical change this is. Did you know that before you yielded your life to the Lord, you were still a part of a kingdom? You were part of a kingdom that is in rebellion against the one who is Lord, led by Satan, who got kicked out of heaven for not wanting to submit, but wanting instead to be the boss. And what has he done in every generation since? He has tried to get humans to follow his lead and rebel, not believing the word of God, not obeying the word of God, but setting themselves up to be their own boss. That was the temptation in the garden. Did God really say that? Oh, that's not true. God just knows that if you disobey him by eating this fruit, you can be like him. You can be your own God. You can be your own boss. You can have it your way. You can be a fully actualized person. And what happened instead? Death, sickness, sorrow, shame, separation. Satan's a liar. Now, we were all born into that kingdom. That's how we started life. But look at verse 13. This is why we're rejoicing. For he has rescued us from the dominion or the kingdom of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Who is it that did this for us? How did we get rescued out of the kingdom of darkness? Well, you got to know the rescuer. Okay? Who is this rescuer? Who is this one who came to save? He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. Now, when it says the firstborn of all creation, that sounds like first there was God and then there was the Son of God. No, that's totally misconstruing what it says here, because look at the next verse. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. John chapter 1 says it too. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. That's the one who came to save us. That's what's so astounding about this. The Creator God became a man. Amazing. And so here, he's the image of the invisible God. If you want to know what God's like, look at Jesus. He's the exact representation. Hebrews 1:3 says the same thing. He's the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. By him all things were created, not only by him, but also for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He's still the one holding it all together. Hallelujah. This is our Lord. You understand who it is you're being asked to submit to? It's God, the one who created everything, the one who knows everything, the one who's still holding it together. If it weren't for him, everything would fly apart. He is the head of the body, the church. He's the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead. He already conquered death for us, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. What it's saying is there's not another way of being reconciled. It's only through him that all things are reconciled. Once, this is one of the most beautiful presentations of the gospel. Verse 21, once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blame and free from accusation, if you continue in your faith, established and firm, not moved from the hope held out in the gospel. Oh my goodness, now I'm getting nervous. I was feeling really good. Sounds like God had done everything I needed him to do in order for me to be saved. Now he's saying, okay, good luck with this. I got the plate spinning on the stick for you, but you got to keep it going, because if you drop the plate, you're lost. I mean, it says, if you continue in your faith, established and firm, not moved from the hope held out in the gospel. What if I mess up? Those who are in Christ are kept. Well, Pastor, I've known people who are very, very clear about their faith. They're very outspoken. They were very effective evangelists or pastors or whatever, and then they turned away. So what do you say about that? Looks to me like they lost their salvation. Yeah, it does look that way, but that's not what happened. How can you be sure? God's word. Jesus described folks like that as being like a dog that returns to its vomit. J. Vernon McGee, the Bible teacher, said, why did the dog return to its vomit? Because it's a dog, that's why. Love J. Vernon McGee. Now here's the thing. He's right. The reason that that animal returns to its vomit is because it's still a dog. Well, that's just one passage. Well, let me give you another. Very straightforward. They went out from us because they were not of us. Because if they were of us, they would not have gone out from us. The reason people appear to lose their salvation is because they weren't saved. How many people these days in our culture who've been Christian celebrities, especially in the realm of Christian music, are now deconstructing their faith? Okay? It's also been authors and pastors and all kinds of folks and other people who didn't announce that they were, but it turned out after they were dead that they were living a double life. Absolutely heinous. How can we account for that? It's in the scriptures. The believers are warned that from among your own number there will arise wolves. A lamb turned into a wolf? No, it was a wolf in sheep's clothing. Looked like it was one of the sheep, but it wasn't. How do you know? Because sheep don't eat sheep. So, when it says, if you continue in your faith, established and firm, not moved from the hope held out in the gospel, what's he talking about then? He's talking about the expectation that those who are truly saved will continue in the faith, established and firm, not moved from the hope held out in the gospel. In other words, he's saying, don't think that because you had some sort of experience, you can now go off and live for yourself. Do your own thing. Be your own boss. Because after all, you've already got your ticket. You're going to heaven. If that's your attitude, you need to be born again. You don't need to be born again again. You just need to be born again. Because to be born again affords you entrance into a relationship with the Lord in the kingdom where he's the boss. This is the good news that you heard that's been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. You mean the gospel at that point had already been preached to every creature under heaven? One of the things about passages like this, and there are a number of them, is you got to understand the difference between all that includes every particular thing and all in the sense that it's all kinds of things. Okay? If I said, we've got something for everybody, I mean we have something for all kinds of folks. I don't mean I'm going to stand here until everybody gets everything that we've got. And when it says it's been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, he's saying we're taking this to Jews, to Gentiles, young and old, rich and poor, educated, uneducated, whoever folks are, Jesus, the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, is the answer. Notice, Paul says, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. He's a slave to Jesus. Now, I rejoice in what was suffered for you, and I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions. Does that mean that Jesus didn't suffer enough? No. He's saying that as part of his body now, the believers suffer. And there's going to be more of that before the end. In the book of Revelation, those who are under the throne cry out, "How long, O Lord?" And the Lord's response is, "Not until the full number of martyrs has been filled." Wow. So when it talks about filling up in my flesh what's still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, which is the church, Paul, undoubtedly, inspired by the Holy Spirit, is remembering his initial encounter with Jesus, who said, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" Well, Jesus was already ascended to the Father. How was Paul, or at that time called Saul, persecuting Jesus? Because when you attack believers, you're attacking him. Wow. So we're connected? Yeah, more than connected. His body is the church. I've become its servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness, the mystery that's been kept hidden for ages and generations but is now disclosed to the saints. That would be you folks. To them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Please let that sink in. He not only rescued us from the kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of Satan, and brought us into a relationship with him as our Lord, but now he lives in and through us. That's why we're called to be holy, to be saints. God has chosen us, your body, and us collectively, the body, that's the temple of the Holy Spirit. Paul writes to the Corinthians, he says, your body's not your own. You've been bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God with your body. Verse 28, we proclaim him. What are we focused on? Jesus. We proclaim him, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone perfect in Christ. To this end I labor, struggling with all his energy, which so powerfully works in me. Folks, this is what life in the kingdom looks like. He's the boss. Jesus Christ is Lord. And our goal, not our grudging, okay, I guess if I have to obey, I'll obey. No, our goal is we want to please him. Why? Because we're grateful. Why are we grateful again? Because we were a part of a kingdom that was ruled by a master who's out to destroy us. Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. So, question. Are you in or are you out? Are you in a relationship with Jesus as your Lord where you say, well, I always thought, but you're right, that's what the Bible says. Please don't go on the basis of what I say unless you check it out in the Scriptures. If I say something and doctrinally you're just not sure, I was always taught differently than that. Well, please take this and go to the Lord and say, Father, just show me. Just show me. All of us were part of the kingdom of darkness. All of us were. But thank God, he opens our eyes. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up. That's what it's about. That's our longing. And so we want to know him and make him known.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.